Happy Reformation Day. And well, I see some of you are looking real happy this day, and we'll have some memories. I made a big mistake a few weeks ago. We had a missions or ministry fair, and all of us had some place in our ministry. I have Young at Heart, as you know, and so they said he was going to have a table and a display, and so I thought, well, I'll just have, since everything in the church is based on the Word of God, I'll just have a Geneva Bible and feature that. And I told the pastor that I would dress up like a pilgrim. And I shouldn't have said that, but anyway, he said, well, that's fine, and you can do that. But he said, I'd like for you to do that on Sunday morning, worship on Reformation Day. Well, I couldn't disappoint him, and so I said, well, I'd do it. And so here we are, and I know that as we think of Reformation Day, we're thinking about, well, a lot of things that took place for 200-300 years, and so, and these, well, it started out, he said, well, just a little, you know, 5 minutes or so. Well, then he called up and said, I'm going to take the day off and go, I'm going to just go see the leaves and rest a while. And so he told me to preach today. And he said, you can do the Reformation thing. And so I agreed. And so here we are. And I know that history is really boring. And so I know that if you happen to doze off and go to sleep, I understand. And I'll forgive you. But anyway, we will begin with a word of prayer. Lord, how we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that you're a God who knows all about us. You know our weakness. You know our strength. You know all that we do and say and think. And yet you love us in spite of all of our weakness. So, Lord, we're thankful that we could be here today to worship you, to sing praises to you. Thank you for all that we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our pastor. Pray that you'd bless him and give him a good vacation, bless his family. Pray that you bless those not able to be here. Be with them, encourage and strengthen them. Think of our shut-ins for Jim and for Audrey and for those that are not able to be here. Be very near to them, encourage them. We thank you, Lord, for privilege of coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to honor you. And so, Lord, we pray that as we think of all the things that have taken place to bring the Word of God to us, we're just so thankful. Pray that you would speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. I want to thank all those who had a part in the service to remind us of Reformation Day, and then also to begin with Martin Luther. Martin Luther was born in 1483 in Germany. He was walking with his friend one day. He was probably a late teenager, and a storm came up, and the lightning struck his friend and killed him. Also knocked Martin Luther to the ground, face down in the mud. He got up and he wanted to know what happened, and then he got to thinking about eternity and where he would spend eternity and what he ought to do. And so he decided to go to a monastery to become a monk, which he did. Well, he was an ordinary, very ordinary fellow that worked hard, prayed. He prayed for 2 hours a day or more for all the things that needs were. And then also, he would copy scriptures because he didn't have a printing machine at that time, a printer. And so he copied scripture, studied the Bible, did a lot of study, and became a Roman Catholic priest at the age of 25. Then was asked if he would teach the book of Romans at a seminary. And so he agreed, said, yeah, he would do that. And then he came to Romans 1:17 that says, the just shall live by faith. And he wondered, what does that mean? And he asked his superiors, what does that mean? And they said, they kind of hum-hawed around. They didn't know, really. And so finally they said, well, why don't you go to Rome and see all the things there and the headquarters of the church and so on. So he did. He went to Rome. He was shocked at the condition of the people that were living in wickedness. And then also he looked at all the shrines. He looked and visited the churches. And then he came to the church, which is known as the Church of the Holy Stairs. And so here the people are crawling up these 25 steps. These steps led to Pontius Pilate's throne. It is said that Jesus walked on those steps. And, of course, after he was punished and so on, beaten, some blood of the Lord Jesus spilled on these steps. And they're still there, they say. And so they climb up these steps on their knees. Well, Luther joined in. He got halfway up the stairs, and he got to thinking that just shall live by faith. It's not by works, not anything I can do. These walking up these steps ain't going to save my soul. It's the just shall live by faith. He jumped up and ran out, went back to Germany, began preaching the gospel. He wrote the 95 Theses, and this was just simply the way of salvation, the gospel, and he wrote it down, nailed it to the church door, the castle church door, and this was their means of what was going on in town. No newspaper or anything else. This was the bulletin board. This was on October 31st, 1517. 1517 Reformation Day. It's on your calendar, or has been on the calendar for over 600 years, Reformation Day. Well, there was a man by the name of, and he was a very influential man, Dr. Eck, E-C-K, and he challenged Luther to a debate. And so Luther debated him on his beliefs and pinned Eck to the wall. Eck became very discouraged, and so he had strings to pull. So Luther was brought to trial at Worms, Germany. The trial, Charles V was there. He was the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, which was the world government at that time. Also, leaders of the church, and of course, Frederick the Wise was there. And over 5,000 people were there. To make the story short, they had all of his papers and writings, books there on the tables. And Eck said, are these your works? And he said, yes. Will you recant? Recant mean, will you deny that these things are true, that you believe them? And Luther thought, well, souls of people all over the world are at stake here. And so he said, I need to think about this. They said, okay, you got 24 hours. What they did not know was the fact that he would spend those 24 hours on his knees in prayer, what to do. And so next day it came back, all the people were there, Charles V and all of the people, and the same question, will you recant? And Luther said, I cannot, I will not recant. Here I stand for God and country. So help me God, amen. The crowd roared, burn him, he's a heretic, burn him. And so he was condemned to be burned at the stake. He knew, like we heard earlier, John Huss was condemned the same place to be burned at the stake. Many other believers. They took him, put him in a wagon, take him back at his prison, and a number of horses and riders surrounded the wagon, pulled Luther from the wagon, took him to Warnock, Germany, back to a castle, and he was there the rest of his life under guard, and continued his work. And probably the greatest work that he did was in translating the Bible from Latin into the German language. And he did it from the Hebrew and the Greek. Others, as we'll talk about later, used the Latin and translated the word. But anyway, Luther was used of God in a great way to help preserve the word of God. Over in England, as we also heard about, can't even think of his name now. When you get old, you forget things. Wycliffe, he was born in 1322, 161 years before Luther. But he translated the Bible, and of course at that time there was everyone had Latin, but they had their own language and they didn't understand Latin. All the services were done in Latin. And translated the Bible from Latin into the English language. Latin was the main language for all of the people for hundreds of years, really, and still, even not too many years ago, Latin was in the Roman Catholic Church. And as a matter of fact, I went to seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, in 1954, and I took a class in worship, one of the best classes I ever had. And the teacher said, "How would you like to go to Roman Catholic service?" Well, we said we'd do it. And we went. It was in Latin. Didn't understand anything. Didn't know anything going on. And then around about 1960, I think, most all of the Roman Catholic churches now have their services in English. Well, as we think about over in England, there are a lot of things that were going on. All through history, God has had a remnant. There's always been those who believed the true gospel. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He is buried. He rose again the third day for our justification. And so this has been all through the ages proclaimed in faithful God-believing churches and people. As we think about all of these different ones through the ages that worked and served and were persecuted and even killed for their faith, we have so much to be thankful for here in America. Anyway, for over 100 years, there wasn't much going on, even though Wycliffe translated the Bible. There were still people being saved, and then getting back to the year 1517, when Luther nailed his 95 theses to the wall there in that church door, there were always people being saved. And as these people were being saved, they were excited about the Lord, and there were more and more people being saved. And then also, beginning in the year 1526, we see Tyndale translated the Bible, and again, he and others translated the Bible into the English language. And so there became more and more Bibles. And then another thing that the Lord did for us in that he allowed the printing press to be invented in 14, well, I've got two dates, so you can take your pick, either 1450 or 1476. But anyway, printing press, and this was a big thing because they didn't have to write the Bible longhand, you know. They could have it in the printing. Others also translated the Bible. We know they were Coversdale and Matthews and also a Bishop's Bible. And then there were those who began working on, and these were the Pilgrims that translated the Geneva Bible. And so you see where the Pilgrims came in. They were godly people. They were intelligent people. And they were the ones who translated the Word of God. And so this really upset Queen Mary in England as more and more people got saved and they wanted to hear gospel, they wanted to hear Bible preaching in church. And so as all these people were getting saved and she got more and more upset about it, she started persecuting the Christians, killing especially Christian leaders. And as a result, she was called Bloody Mary. Well, as we think about this fact, then we see that Christians again have suffered persecution over and over again. As the people were persecuted there in England, more and more of them just fled the country in large groups. Over 300 pilgrims fled to Holland. Others in large groups of 100 more, they fled to different countries all over, like France and Germany. And the pilgrims that were translating the Bible in England, that were working on translating the Bible, they decided, well, they were going to leave, and so they went to Geneva in order to continue and to translate the Bible into English. And that's why the Pilgrim Bible is really the Geneva Bible. Becky gave me this Bible, and so I thought, I know a lot of you saw it at the ministry fair. And so I'll put it back there again after the service, and you can look at it. And but this Bible, this Geneva Bible, became the most demanded Bible. Everyone wanted the Geneva Bible. And for a number of reasons, it was a great Bible. And so, first of all, the pilgrims that translated the Bible into English, they went back to the Hebrew and Greek. It was the first Bible translated in English that went back to the Hebrew and Greek. Not only that, but also, they also, as they studied the word, they divided each book into chapters and verses. The first time ever happened. Before, it was just like you writing a letter, but now it's all written out and divided up so it's easy to find. And everybody loved this. Not only that, this was a study Bible that had cross references. And so my Bible has two references on each, two on each page, and a lot of them have them in the middle. My Bible has a lot more, has them on both sides. But anyway, this makes your Bible a commentary, because it gives you other, what, you know, people all through the ages are, as you read your Bible, they sin, they find trouble, and so the cross-reference shows how God dealt with them as a result of that. And so it becomes a commentary on itself. And that is so important in the Word of God. And so we think of not only the fact of coming from the Hebrew and the Greek, and the cross references, but also they had a commentary. They wrote the notes concerning it, and so the Hebrew Bible was the most wanted Bible of the, well, still is the most wanted Bible, most well-sold Bible in the world. Having said that, now, when people read the Bible, when they study the Bible, when they believe the Bible, and when they accept the truth of the Bible into their own life, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them their sin, come into their life and save them, the Lord Jesus Christ does that. He does save those who repent and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to remind you of each one of us, and we know, I guess, all of us have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you have. But I'd like to remind you of the Bible verses that remind us of how we can be saved and know it, and so that you can jot these down, use them when you witness to others. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's Romans 3:23 and Romans 3:10. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal punishment in hell. And so the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. The gift, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's Romans 10, 9, 10, 13. And they tell us how to be saved and how to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Well, the pilgrims brought the Geneva Bible to America, taught it to their children, taught it to their grandchildren. It was used to establish a nation under God. And so we have the Word of God, and we have a constitution based on the Word of God. We're thankful for the Word of God. If you don't know the Lord, if you know someone needs the Lord, and you know how to tell them about the Lord, pray that you will do that. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for preserving your word for us. We know, Lord, that we are nothing. We don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your goodness and mercy and grace. And yet, Lord, you reach down to each one of us. We thank you for dying on a cross for our sins. Thank you that you're living, Lord. Pray that you would help us to be a good testimony like Martin Luther for others. And Lord, pray that as we think of so many that have fallen away from the truth, they started out good, yet they became disillusioned, tempted by the devil, no longer living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many even in leadership have quit. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be true. Forgive us and make us a blessing. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 400. Let's see what.